It's time for Blindly Obvious.
Hello and welcome to Blindly Obvious. I'm Tyler with my co-host Jeff, and today we are on the conversation of It's Weird. Now, it's seemingly the new hot topic term of the last month or two has been the fact that everything's weird now in the mainstream. So we thought maybe we'd kind of get into some topics that we thought were weird. Jeff?
I remember growing up and there were those weird songs from the 80s like Sledgehammer.
Man, I was thinking weird people like you.
But I was, man. Oh, I was a little odd. But the songs are Sweet Dreams.
All right. Yeah, I like that one.
And we could sing it, you know, but they've kind of hung around. There's even been some more recent ones, like the song by Muse, Uprising, where it talks about this evil cabal of fat cats who are running the world and doing bad things.
Oh.
Working behind the scenes. But it was just weirdness. It was like these artists had seen something maybe in their particular field, and they were trying to cue in the world. Prince did this. You know, you had... Huh. Metallica had their own kind of weird songs.
Mm-hmm.
Alice Cooper.
Now you even got that new dude, Oliver Anthony.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, the Rich Man.
The Rich Man. Oh, North of Richmond.
It's a good song, but it is still a weird song.
Yeah. Great. Nice hook, too, in the song. Rich Man, North of Richmond. I think he's talking about DC there.
Well, maybe, right? He never was specific, right? He didn't name names.
That's right.
So, weird things. There's a big question right now with this attack in Texas, whether the individual who struck a main gas line was a terrorist or just an unfortunate accident. When you go and study the facts, you learn that not only were they driving very quickly, I forget the speed, ridiculous, down this street, in the wrong lane, drove through a fence, a secure fence, security fence, to hit a gas main. It's like, what? We don't know if the person died in the car. We don't know if the person was already dead in the car. And that's what we get into remote control.
Right.
The remote control can be literal, like you think of a mechanical, like for a drone or for an airplane. Even jets have remote control in them, with the autopilot, we call it, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're close approaching the day when you'll have automatic cars that will take you wherever you want to go.
Well, look at the Tesla right now.
Right.
I mean, it's already pretty much a full-blown computer, right? So, I mean, to think if you're operating from a computer, which can be accessed via the internet, why could you not control something?
Well, the technology's there. It's just not being utilized for whatever reason. But the other part of what you
or
just
is
said,
it?
Well, yeah, there's also the remote control where you can hijack a person's mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we the earlier years we called it hypnosis. You can stimulate that through acoustical attacks, where you can actually, they call it the voice of God, where you can speak in, look it all up. You can speak into someone's head from across the room with this device, and it somehow strikes the inner ear or whatever, and you can hear. And so you can convince somebody, they don't know it's happening, that they're hearing the voice of God. And you can supplant ideas or give them voices.
And then, I mean, even to take a step down from that, you can, I feel like these networks all the time find people who are on the internet, who are, you know, maybe in a certain mental state that they've already processed, tracked out, and looked for, take some kind of, you know, psychotropic drugs, and then lean into them and influence them and encourage them to make maybe certain decisions that aren't going to benefit them or anyone else.
It does seem that we are seeing an explosion of mental illness where people are on the edge. A lot larger of a group of people are on the edge or in the fringe of true insanity. And it, like you just said, it does not take much to wind such people up.
No. I mean, I'm obviously all throughout history, right? There was probably periods of time where the same thing occurred, but I just don't remember in my living experience thus far a time in which people are crazy, man.
Well,
crazy.
Maybe you can remember the day when they used to have mental institutions where people were, you know, housed, and if you didn't know what to do with your loved one or a friend who was having mental illness, born that way or developed it, then you could take them there. I don't know that we still have those places. And of course, they were horrible experiments were done on people. I mean, that's part of the reason why they were shut down.
That's probably best we don't still.
Yeah,
have those
I think it's not a very proud moment of our history.
Think about the fine gray line of A, who's deciding that you have a mental illness, and then B, what it takes to institutionalize someone, and then all of a sudden, you know, you speak out of character to somebody, or you just have a general disagreement with somebody and they're filing an accusation that you're mentally insane.
I tell you what, today in particular, and it's a welcome sight, we've got rain. And it happened last night. And so,
is that what that is?
Yeah.
Oh, but it's been
there's a different 3 weeks. Literal. I know, it's been a while. It's pretty dry and it's brought a different feel even to the air. And it's given me such an introspective retro. I don't know how to put this into word. I'm thinking about, so we're getting rain here. I saw out in Africa, they're getting rain as well. Did you hear about this? And it's starting to green up out in the desert. Like unnatural amounts of rain. So the desert's becoming more like a forest, or I don't know. It's like, what's going on with weather, man? And I'm not just talking like here in Ohio. I'm talking about globally. Some weird, wonky stuff.
You think it's a natural occurrence, or maybe getting some assistance?
I saw, is it Ginger Z, one of those news anchor meteorologists, and she was talking about cloud seeding, and they were saying, she was openly talking about what some call chemtrails, now they call it cloud seeding. It's the same thing, been doing it forever, decades, but how that they can make it rain in some places. But there is a possible connection where if you make it rain in one place, then you change the pattern of where it used to rain in the past. Yeah. So yes, it's that whole, what they call it, the butterfly effect, where little micro changes here make monumental changes over there. You just don't understand
right
how the seesaw is going to pan out.
And it's another technology that I'm assuming when created, it makes good practical sense of if there's areas going through extreme drought per se that you would be able to maybe help, you know what I mean? Help some rain if necessary. But then I think it's been taken, weaponized, or maybe it was created this way in the first place to be kind of a weapon of warfare, to where you can extend rainy seasons, you can extend dry seasons. They can do all kinds of crazy stuff, man.
When you stop and think about, okay, so we take a tree and we make 2x4s out of it to make a house. You know, your door is made of wood. There's some nice things that we've taken from what God has given us and refashioned it into something very, very useful.
Yeah. I mean, it's still the same natural resource, right, just fashioned right for a purpose of use.
But there is something fundamentally just broken about going and trying to rewrite DNA, for example. Both are God's creation, but you're actually becoming like this Dr. Monroe, evil Jekyll and Hyde, evil.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's like an evil mastermind manipulation of God, right?
Exactly. I think it's a power that no one man can hold, because eventually you're going to misuse it, right?
Well, that's just it. When you think about it, everything that we pretty much use and make, somebody has misused it. That's a safe answer. Somebody has. Okay, so the door. Someone's used that door to imprison somebody, falsely holding them in a place they should not be, right? It happens. Now,
that's why not my door handle's messed up.
That's not why the door was made, but give man enough time and he'll use it in an evil way.
It's almost like the gun, maybe?
Gun to the splitting of the atom. I mean, you name a technology that we have used, the computer, give us enough time, we will use it for evil. I think the military, and I understand this, whenever there's a new technology, they want first dibs on it, because anything we make, their first question is, can this be a weapon?
Oh, sure. You know, sure.
And then maybe they'll release certain parts of it for us to be used for our products. And
maybe, or maybe they'll just use it.
So, well, yeah. Or they put it in the arsenal for a possible use in the future. Who knows? But the point is that these micro changes that we're making, whether we're talking from the DNA to our weather, there's a line that we keep crossing where we're changing things that we don't fully understand the consequences for.
I think micro change is a great way to describe it. Each time, I think the lure of doing these things is they make those slight alterations, right? And they see maybe the change they wanted to create or the positive outcome they were looking for. And now they see, well, now I can do more. It's like the dangling carrot theory, where it just keeps moving a little bit further backwards, but you never catch it.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be a nefarious intent.
Exactly. That's kind of what I'm describing. I think some people who are working on things like this probably have no nefarious intent at all, right? They're probably just very interested in their field of study. They may have created something that they never intended to be used for what it's currently being used for. Right. That could be anything.
Well, it could actually be altruistic. It could be something you're saying, this is going to benefit mankind.
And then all of a sudden it's flipped on its head.
Take the V, can I say this word? Vaccines. Vaccines had such tremendous potential to be this life-changing benefit. And maybe for a time it was. But now we're beginning to put this mRNA and the vaccine that we don't know the long-term benefit or consequence of this product that man has made, again, that will fundamentally change what it means to be human. It's frightening because you just don't know what you're playing with. You know, it's like a child playing with fire. It could be innocuous or it could burn the house down.
Yeah, that's kind of scary to put it like that.
You know, I don't know. It's, again, like I said, I know it's kind of weird. I'm just in this weird place of contemplation about where things are moving. Trying to be intellectually honest about what's happening, what you see the world doing, what those few people who are controlling things behind the scenes.
I was going to ask you that next. Okay. I was going to say, I've said this on here for, you know, a few times, that I feel like this is very much almost like a movie or a show we're watching, right? Do you feel any more in like a line with that than you had in the past, or do you still feel not as much?
I would say that there's a narrative that a director is taking us on a journey toward. And I have, as an actor in this movie set, I have very little choice in the outcome. Yes, I feel as though there's a narrative that has been written and a preferred outcome of a few who are directing. And that's the key point to pull the strings together, what we just talked about. Regardless of the intention of the masses and even the positive things they're wanting to do, we're so compartmentalized in our particular areas, we don't see the bigger picture. And so everything you think you're doing is for the good. Somebody else is using it for their malevolent plan.
I honestly think most people, to refer to the actors and the scripts, are so content with just watching the show. They don't really ever care about being in the movie.
Yeah, I think most people are NPCs, those non-playing characters. They're just there.
But sometimes, I gotta be honest, it feels kind of good just to not be in the movie for a little bit.
You mean just to be a viewer?
Yeah, just to sit down for a minute.
I like dystopian movies. I do. That's a guilty pleasure of mine. I like to watch those, like The Giver. That's a fantastic movie, The Giver. And not because I like the story, but because I see parallels to our present day, where there are people who are manipulating our perception of reality, not just the actual environment that we live in. You know, it's like we're in a fishbowl and they're providing an artificial environment of what we call life, playing with things. It's terrifying watching the real show, the true Truman Show.
Well, I mean, okay, let's go to the second attempt on President Trump's life. There's
Did you hear about the five? There's five. Was it Matt Gaetz said there's five separate teams in the United States that they've identified that are trying to attack him?
That doesn't surprise me. So to go to this assassination, mm-hmm. He's at his home. He's not supposed to play golf, they say, and he just randomly decides to take a last minute trip to the golf course. There's a dude allegedly camped out who's made it past the security barriers of Mar-a-Lago. So, I mean, You know what I mean? That's got to be a pretty secure spot, right?
Right.
He makes it past the security barriers. He gets into a tree line, sitting against a fence. And the only way he's discovered is a Secret Service agent just happens to glance over and see the barrel of the dude's weapon sticking through the fence.
Right.
Really? The guy's wearing a pink shirt.
This guy should have played the lottery instead of going and trying to do what he did.
How do you?
I mean, because if he is that lucky to be able to guess that Trump is going to play golf today,
yeah.
What's more likely is somebody had access to Trump's schedule, saw the change, and gave the cue, hey, he's going to be vulnerable today. That's probably more likely if I were a thinking person.
I think you're probably right. But then here's my thing, though. If this were like not a... some type of, I don't know if you want to say, like some type of staged event or inside event. How do you go to do a job like this in a pink shirt?
You were at your house when you got the phone call and you didn't have a chance to change.
Like, I just, are you serious? Like, I just, like, I can't imagine, like, something so high level and so serious. You're talking, like, James Bond type stuff done on Sesame Street. Like, it's just nonsense.
What it screams to me is this was not, again, it was a very quick turnover. Someone disclosed his itinerary, where he's supposed to be, so he could set up.
So you're looking at it from more of a sense of they were waiting for any moment, yes, to capture a slight opportunity.
Yes, the asset was already in place. Like, again, I am going so far off the reservation conspiratorial.
Oh, yeah.
But hey, you know, we're still trying to find out what happened to this one president that...
Well, you know what they say about conspiracy theories and time.
Yeah.
It's usually about 6 months. Yeah. And you see him just like, oh, there's another one that I guess wasn't... Yeah.
So I would not be shocked one iota if he's an asset. It's been an asset. Now, will they disclose that? Surely not, because of national security.
So let's go back to the first one now.
Okay.
We're at an event, thousands of people, obviously very secure once again, right? I went to the Super Bowl about 12 years ago and got frisked on my way in. So I'm pretty sure when you're going to see the Prez, you're probably getting double frisked on the way in.
Yeah.
Regardless of the candidate.
Yeah, you get frisked going to the airport. You get frisked going to a stadium. You get frisked in certain buildings. You're told you can't have certain things in other buildings. Mm-hmm. But when you come in this country illegally...
Oh, you're good.
Man, don't worry about it.
Come on in, cuzzo. You cool.
But there's no plan there trying to create any kind of hotbed of problems for the future. No.
I don't think so. No. You're right. So they have a, you know, the event set up. There's just this massive gap with one building that's right directly in line with the stage, and nobody thought they should cover it. Just seemed like, nah, we're good. And then a dude who's told to us to be a loner manages at 20 years old to make his way past all that security while carrying a weapon, and manages to climb onto the roof, position himself, all for the event to start. And none of the security notices, but the people in the crowd do.
No, the security did notice. I think it was the last thing. Was it 30 or 90 minutes that they'd been watching him before the event? Yeah, I can't remember. It was either 30 or 90 minutes. They already had their eye on him because he had a rangefinder.
Here's my thing with this. These people...
Oh, did you hear that he had a car there and a bike?
Yeah, just like...
He had two
forms of... He rode in twice.
Isn't that wild?
So, my thing with this is what bothers me, and I'm not even affiliated in this group, but it would just seem to me like... Typically, Secret Service agents are seen as... really serious professional people, right?
Competent.
Like the top of their class and their field and what they do.
Yeah, experts, right? Mm-hmm. True experts.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they are to basically the police what the SEALs are to the military.
They
right?
are like, you know, there's the Cocker Spaniel, little cute poodle, whatever. And then there's like the German Shepherd, always on guard, right? That's what they are. They're always on guard. They're always watching. They suspect everyone.
All that to say, these people... don't fail that badly. Never. I'm not saying they're perfect.
No.
They make mistakes. I'm telling you what, you could have the local village police force would have done a better job than what took place that day.
There's so many weird things about this whole thing.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of the point I was trying to make.
It's as weird as our weather. You know, it's as weird.
It's all weird. Speaking of weird, that's like the new word. Everything's weird.
It's as weird as... what we are as a country today compared to what we were 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 100 years ago. It is.
Dude, it is weird. I mean, think about it. We're talking about, you got drag queens reading to children and people want to argue that it's fine. You're talking about, because people want to take, not ban the books entirely. They want to take sexualized contented books out of school libraries that you're crazy. You should be able to abort a baby in the 9th month, no problem. And now we're talking about maybe even after birth, you can just decide like, that's weird. Like what is going on? And how are people just like,
again,
I kind of like this movie we're watching. It's pretty good.
Again, did we randomly get here, or is it part of someone's concocted plan?
Oh yeah, absolutely not. Right. Did we randomly
get here? And I do think there's an intelligence beyond man in this. Like, you know, we're to some degree all being used by either good or evil, God or the devil. And we all surrender to some form of
power. I think what's scarier is to some degree, couldn't you probably make a fair debate that you're influenced by both at times?
Oh, absolutely. Everyone is.
Right.
Yeah. Everyone. But I think there's one that you are predisposed.
Subservient to.
Well, yeah. You surrender to. Yeah. Like it's maybe not even a conscious choice, but it's where you're predisposed maybe, or.
Well, in a way it is a conscious choice because once you've made that decision of which one you ultimately serve, you then create your thought patterns around that. So, I mean, basically then your actions are going to come from your thought patterns, right?
Yeah. And then, so you were talking about all this and you're going, surely this all can't be true. This you don't want it to be.
Yeah. But it is.
You want to just go back and be left alone and go back to sitting in front of the TV watching a happy movie with your popcorn.
Yeah. It was literally called 2019. That's what that was called. Like, it was dude, everything's cool.
When you were kind of asleep to the world of things what's going on.
I wasn't kinda. I was asleep. I mean, I knew, like, okay, I should say kinda is probably fair, but mostly asleep. Because I knew, like, oh yeah, these people are kind of grifty, kind of crooked as far as like your career positions of
you hear rumbles of something and go, yeah, that's not right. But it wasn't like it is today.
But then I kind of think of, you know, you hear the like, oh, you know, maybe they didn't pay all of they should have in taxes or something goofy to where you're like, well, I mean, I get why people would want to save as much of their money as they could. Like, but then, right, 2020 rolls around and then it's just like,
okay,
nah, this is so much worse than you actually could have ever imagined.
What you're saying is 2019, it wasn't so obvious even to us, right? But here's a question for you.
Well, probably to you. I didn't know you in
2019. Well, I saw things, but even I concede on this. I think I've been conscious to these things since before. I got to think about this. I had my suspicions back in college of things.
Okay.
I just didn't have... We didn't have the internet like we do today where you can do your own research. The internet really has opened doors.
Oh, yeah.
But no, I had suspicions back in 1995.
Okay.
But I couldn't put things together like I do now. It's not even fair to what we have today compared to then.
Sure.
But I had suspicions. So I was looking, but I wasn't...
Like if you saw something that just kind of came your way, you'd be like, oh, yeah, I kind of already like thought that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like that makes sense based on like what you read mm-hmm. in the Bible and Revelation, and so you're looking for this evil system that's being built. It's being formed. You can see it happening. The scaffolding's being built.
Mm-hmm.
But today, in my thinking, it's like, you know, okay, I can understand 2019, you know, not putting things together.
Mm-hmm.
But think of all the people today at present who would hear what we're saying and go, what the heck is wrong with you guys? Why are you saying these things about our country? Why are you saying this about our leaders? This is the greatest place ever, and everything's awesome. Like, you know, everything is awesome. Everything is cool when you're part of the team.
I think though you could say, like, I wouldn't dispute that this is the greatest. This probably is the greatest country that's existed on the earth, right?
No. The question they're saying is everything is awesome. I don't mean we are.
I see. Yeah. Okay.
Like. Not only is it awesome, but where we're moving is awesome. Like everything is the way it should be.
What's so crazy and where I completely agree with you that there is a higher, more of a spiritual hand in play on both sides of the fence. When you look at it from that perspective and you see the brilliance of it, you would know that it wasn't created by man. Meaning that like people could walk around and coexist in one place but live in different realities.
It truly is this polarizing thing. For those who can see it, they can see it. And for those who can't, they're totally blind.
Even biblically speaking, some people don't ever see it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, just kind of the way it is.
So throw that into the forecast of what we're talking about here. Those are pretty polarizing positions. Those who can see and those who can't, right?
Mm-hmm.
In regard to the evil that we see this narrative.
But let me stack this on top of that. Both people on those opposite perspectives believe that they can see.
Yes.
So neither one of them believe they can't see.
Yeah, and they think the other's crazy.
That is a true source understanding of the term divide and conquer, right?
Right. So that's
both people are so adamant about what they believe in and they're so sure they're correct. They're going to fight. That's the hill they're going to die on.
It is that vicious of a conviction on both sides.
But where we got to separate ourselves, in my opinion, and look is that, okay, what what am I fighting on? What's my opinion come from? And if it's a biblical understanding, the viewpoint therefore then isn't necessarily your own. And then on the other side of the fence, the viewpoint is entirely based upon emotion. And if we make decisions based upon our emotion, we usually find them not to be good, right? When we're angry, we say something we didn't want to. When we're happy, maybe we overindulge. When we're aroused, maybe we make bad decisions, right? I mean, you know what I'm saying? Maybe mm-hmm. we get with a partner we shouldn't have. Maybe we get on the internet and do some exploring. I mean, when we make decisions based on emotion, the outcome, I would say more than a coin flip of the time, does not favor us to win.
We're a nation made up of both groups.
Absolutely. And I think for me, why I understand is because in the past, I was a person who made solely emotionally based decisions.
Right.
So I have a great understanding for what I came from.
Okay,
right?
So let me ask you this way then. How does Tyler today convince oblivious Tyler 10 years ago to move in the right direction?
How do you see what I'm saying? That's good. Because that really is, like, if I was talking to my younger me right now, that's who I would be talking to. I was oblivious. I was
the impulsive. How do you convince the impulsive, feeling based, pleasure seeking Tyler of 10 years ago?
Honestly, that, hey, if I was being totally honest, I'm still doing it. I'm still convincing that person.
So you're saying that there's an old tie.
Oh, sure.
That pulls at you.
Sure.
And okay. So how do you navigate that?
I'm now conscious and reflective upon who that person is. And the tie is probably a good word for it, of like, sometimes you still feel pulled in that direction of those things, right? Keeping in mind that mindset of like, okay, this is who you once were. This is how you once made decisions. And sometimes this is how you still make decisions. But are they the decisions, the right decision?
I think what's hard about that.
So reflection for me is very something that I didn't often ever partake in.
Well, that would be painful, because if you reflected, then you have to be honest about the bad decisions that you made.
Mm-hmm.
And now, especially now that you got children, a family, you're looking back on decisions going, yeah, that wouldn't fly very well.
Right. Oh, 100%.
Part of that's part of growing up.
Sure.
And again, another one of our dynamics that's exacerbating a very difficult situation. Your generation, there's, again, an arrested development where it seems that they never make that full jump from adolescence to adulthood, where they're leaving behind the impulsivity and the feeling-based decisions,
yeah,
to be able to understand the consequences of actions and decisions.
That's pretty fair.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I would say probably half of my generation, and then the generation below ours certainly is entirely, I would say, stuck in that mode.
Well, we've got this. We're seeing, my wife and I, we were discussing it last night. We're seeing... You've heard others say it this way. You've got children raising children. And it used to be, it was teenagers.
Or grandparents.
Well, yes, but it was teenagers who were having kids, and then they weren't themselves fully developmentally understanding the need to instill values and so forth. And listen, the reason why they are a teenage parent is because they didn't have values they should have had.
Right.
But now that's the new norm. And I don't mean teenager. I mean, you've got people who are 25 who, again, are still acting like they're 15.
Could we say this? I think what's been the ideals that have been pushed in the inner cities for decades are now being attempted to become
mainstream
norms.
Yeah.
And if you look at what they did in these environments as an experiment, they destroyed the nuclear family. Single parent homes are incredibly, I would say, probably one of the most common things to see in the neighborhoods, right? Which already sets you at a disadvantage, because your stability is like, you have no stability. They've put dispensaries and liquor stores and abortion clinics in the inner city neighborhoods, all so that those decisions will constantly be made over and over and over again. And now it's that's being spread out into the mainstream of society as though it's the way to live. It's the best thing you can do, so that they can stick you in the cycle of government dependency.
Okay, let's try a different hat on for a second. I forget. It was the movie Incredibles, and I forget the villain in the first movie, the bad guy's name. But what I want you to do is become a villain. Do you have an evil laugh?
I don't think so.
Just try.
You're putting me on the spot. I can't. That wasn't bad. That was pretty good.
Okay, evil laugh, right? So let's be bad guys. We're malevolent. We're going to be the ones pulling the strings.
Oh.
Now imagine this.
Okay.
We have successfully convinced the culture ignorance is strength. Becoming knowledgeable and learning history and
yeah, you don't want to do any of that.
No, we don't want any of that stuff. It's like the movie Idiocracy.
The more athletes that you know their statistics, the more music you know the lyrics to, the more skimpy outfits you wear, the better off you are.
Yeah, we've convinced the culture hedonism is the way. Just chase pleasure, right? Mm-hmm. We've been successful. Steeped in ignorance. You even if you wanted to, you can't be reflective. You can't fathom the future. All you know is the now and enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
On top of that, you can't perceive, or you don't have the complexity, you don't have the depth of how systems work or sure. who's working the work, right? You mm-hmm. just can't even go there. That's what we are today. Now, from that, strip from any kind of values system. So you and I, we're evil, we're malevolent. So what would be your next move? Like, what would be the thing that you'd, to be able to steer society, let's say to destruction, because we enjoy destruction. We want to shift society the next rung down. So what would be your next move?
As always, this has been Blindly Obvious. You can visit our website at www.blindlyobvious.com, where you can catch up on past episodes, as well as learn a little bit about us. We are so happy that you're here, and hope these are just the conversations you've been looking for. Peace, love, and God bless. If you like what you've heard, please subscribe and share the word. And remember, eyes mean nothing if the mind is blind.